Welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. I'm Mark Hickman, co-host of Inspire Indeed, along with Elaine Summerfield and Alan Hudson. We discuss community issues and hear from the nonprofits and local leaders who are working to address them. We hope you'll be inspired to think about how you are making a difference with your deeds. The public library. When's the last time you were in a public library? For me, I happened to have a recurring meeting at a library in Chesterfield for work. And in my old job, I had to visit one regularly because the partner organization of the program I managed happened to be housed at a public library in Hopewell, Virginia. For a couple years, we hosted an event at the downtown Richmond Library of Virginia, a beautiful space with an art gallery in addition to its traditional library services. Early on in that job a few years ago, I attended an interesting seminar at the Richmond Main Library about the digital divide. That is, the divide between those who have access to the internet and those who don't. The seminar was great, but I left immediately after it ended. Before that, my last visit to a public library was my senior year of college, I think, at the University of Richmond, and it was also at the Main Branch, the only place that had a book I needed for a music history class. I quickly checked out the book and returned to campus. Now, I will say quickly that the last time I actually benefited from a public library tangibly was very recently when a friend and I wanted to watch the movie Black Swan, which my friend had never seen, and I was at a loss as to where to quickly get a free copy. It's not on Netflix. My friend was like, I'm pretty sure it's available at the library. The option had never even occurred to me, but I'm glad he thought of it. I realize that for many, the library is an indispensable source of books, resources, computer and internet access, meeting space, classes, and other tools and services. But in this day of instant access to all kinds of media, databases, applications, and other resources on the web, whether from a computer, tablet, or smartphone, a bricks and mortar library with paper books almost seems like it might become a quaint anachronism. Now, I will readily accept if I'm mistaken in this assertion, which is why I'm excited to welcome someone who can help educate me and set the record straight. Christina Dominguez Ramirez is the manager of the Broad Rock branch of Richmond Public Libraries, and last year was honored in Style Weekly's Top 40 Under 40. When Christina became branch manager after the major renovation of Broad Rock in 2012, according to Style, she found many services for the Latino community lacking. She's focused on helping the library fulfill its role as a community center. That's meant redefining what most people think of as a traditional library. Christina joins me today on the show. Welcome, Christina.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on being named a top 40 under 40. That's really exciting. And from that quote I read in your feature in Style Weekly, I gather that Broad Rock is located near a significant Latino population. Is that so? Tell me about the neighborhood your library serves.
Okay, well, the library is a very diverse and rapidly changing community. We have a predominantly African-American and Latino immigrant population. We also are very close to the VA hospital, so we have a number of veterans that come in and want to use our services and their family members when they're coming to visit the veterans getting treatment at the hospital. We are also close to a lot of apartment houses and several schools, so we have a large number of after-school programs, and we have a lot of story times to meet the needs of from children to older adults with their information-seeking needs.
Wonderful, wonderful. So it's a diverse population, as you mentioned.
Very diverse, yes.
But a significant part of it is Latino, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes. One of the schools closest to the library, Green Elementary, I believe now is 60% Latino. So it is, I mean, just the schools are changing rapidly. The businesses are changing. You can see a lot of Latino businesses, mom-and-pop restaurants, grocery stores, all of those have popped up in the last few years, and they serve a large, growing community.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that in and of itself presents its own challenges on top of the challenge of just running a public library on a day-to-day basis, but on top of that, of course, addressing the needs of that specific local population. And I know we're going to be talking on some of those points. So, you know, you became branch manager after a major renovation mm-hmm. of the library in 2012, but you were not satisfied with the services the library was providing. So what was the library like before the renovation? And why did you find specific services to be lacking?
Well, I wasn't at the library right before the renovation. I came at the very end when they were doing really the finishing touches on the renovation, and I spent the first few weeks at the Belmont branch in Carytown, and then I went over to Broad Rock to work with my predecessor on the finishing touches. But I know just from our website, from speaking to other branch managers and the patrons, that with the growing community, there really wasn't anyone to offer bilingual programs, signage, information, anyone to do interpretation, translating. And really one of the key functions that I feel I have played is educating an immigrant community that is not comfortable or familiar in using government services and has not come from a country in which there are public libraries. It's really an American institution. And so coming from Latin America, Central America, this is new to them. They actually want to, they pull out money from their pockets and they say, can I pay you to use the internet? And I say, no, it's free. The library cards are free. So there's a lot of education that has to take place before we can kind of take them to the next level with information literacy and technology literacy.
So just curious, when they hear that they don't have to pay for using the internet, when you tell them that it's free, what's a typical reaction?
They don't believe it. They think, oh, I had brought some cash with me. I figured I had to pay for something that we do. Obviously charge for printing, for faxing, and those type of services, but internet access, to use the computers, to check out videos, books, magazines, none of that. And we don't charge for homework help. So all of that is kind of shocking for a lot of families who expect that they're going to have to pay for it. And they're very thankful because some of them have limited means in order to help their children succeed in school.
You know, it truly is a resource. I was, you know, opening with that story about checking out a movie and, mm-hmm. you know, Netflix is not free. Still has a monthly subscription, even though you get unlimited access. And so when my friend mentioned that, oh, you can just get that for free at the library, I mean, I was almost stunned. But of course, at the same time, I shouldn't have been. I mean, of course, you know, the great resources that libraries have are amazing. So tell us then in more detail, because I read some of it in your style feature and you've touched on some of them already, but please tell us more about the full suite of programs and services that the library now offers specifically under your leadership since you became branch manager, mm-hmm. and what you're working on now.
Well, I've continued a lot of the existing programs that we had with existing relationships with Richmond Public Schools. We offer, like I mentioned, the after-school homework help program, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 6 p.m., and the teacher that we have is bilingual. So that's an amazing asset for the parents who need help to even kind of get set up and get going and then to help their children, and she takes kids from K through 12. So a large range in terms of grade levels and subjects that she can help them with. We offer a GED class, now that is in English, Monday and Wednesdays. Eventually, I would like to partner with some other organizations and offer a GED class in Spanish. Right now, I serve kind of as a clearinghouse and direct people to where certain services are offered that we can't get or we don't offer, and send them if they want to do the GED in Spanish to another location. In addition, we are going to get started in March with three basic computer classes, Introduction to the Computer and Basic Internet, Resume Writing, and How to Set Up an Email Account. And then we're going to offer those same classes in Spanish to the mm-hmm. Spanish speakers, because they have been asking over and over, there's nowhere for me to go to, and it's free. And so they would be, for a lot of people, as you know, just applying for a job, you have to have an email account and you have to do it online. And if you're lacking that basic comfort and knowledge with setting up your own email account and then applying online or preparing a resume or cover letter, that's a great hindrance to a lot of people to get employment. So those are all in the works for the next few months.
Wow. You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned about the applying for jobs, because we're definitely going to come back to that a little bit later. And it's something that I mentioned with the digital divide. Sounds like your library is already a hub, a bilingual hub for both online and offline resources. So that's fantastic. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today, we're talking with Christina Ramirez, manager of Broad Rock Public Library in Richmond. Christina, where can listeners go for more information about the library?
You can go to our website at richmondpubliclibrary.org. You can stop by any of our 9 branches at the main library and get a whole host of information, both in print on programs, activities, events, and then online you can see some of our upcoming programs and by branch level.
Great, thank you. Christina, you told us about the great programs that Broad Rock provides. And I'd like to explore the topic of redefining the traditional library that we've already started. You heard my introduction, and what those stories kind of tell us, and what you've been telling us, is that I think public libraries may have a challenge in the face of the rapid pace of technology and how we use it. More and more people are reading books on e-readers and tablets. Technology has changed how we communicate and often how we think about community. Do you agree, first of all? And how is Broad Rock addressing this trend?
I'm going to say yes and no. I agree that we do have an increasing number of resources published electronically, but we see the same curve occurring with print resources. So every year people say, oh, it's the end of print resources, but every year more print resources are published than the previous year. So the desire and the need to have both simultaneously is there around the communities. And in terms of the digital divide, I think that libraries across the country are seeing that we really have become a central community location because we can offer both the high-speed internet, computers, access to different technology that people can experiment with, like e-readers, e-books. We also offer training and workforce development. And so due to the ever-growing digital divide, and I think with the downturn in the economy, you're seeing more people coming with different levels of knowledge and different levels of need. You have people that come in and already have their e-readers, and they just want to get their card so that they can start downloading e-books. And then you have people that come in and they really don't even understand how to log on to a computer. Mm-hmm. And so there's just such a range of need in the community, and we try to address everything in between.
You know, I'm just going to very quickly, maybe one more time, go back to that example of Netflix, because while you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, I talked about the subscription cost of Netflix, but actually there's an assumed underlying cost, which is internet access itself. So you can't use Netflix if you don't have the internet, and you can't have the internet unless you have a computer,
right,
and you are wired and you're able to pay for the subscription to the internet. So you know, pointing out what you just said, I think is really important because so many people do rely on libraries for those things. Let's explore then, you brought it up again, the digital divide. Let's explore that a little bit more. For many people in the city of Richmond and similar communities across the nation, public libraries are the only major place, as you point out, that you can reliably access the internet on a dedicated computer for free. Otherwise, many people, as I understand, also rely on their smartphones. But there are essential online activities that are not ideally done on a smartphone, including, for example, as you mentioned earlier on the show, applying for a job or taking an online course, for example. You can't do that. I can't imagine doing that on a small little screen. I learned that libraries count as access points that supposedly decrease the digital divide. However, what if someone doesn't own a car? What if they can't drive or can't take public transportation to a public library? The question is, should the library still be counted as providing a full internet access point? So what are your thoughts on this, Christina? Do you see this playing out in the Broad Rock community?
I do. A lot of our patrons, while we do have a number that have personal vehicles, we do have a lot of patrons that use the GRTC bus system, and they arrive via bus. We also have patrons that carpool or that have family members drop them off. And then because of our proximity to a lot of housing, we have patrons and entire families that will walk over or ride their bikes because the need is so great. Like you mentioned, they don't have computers at home, or they don't have computers that are up to date or that have up to date software like Microsoft Suite products. We also have the internet, the homework help. So a lot of families will come after school and the whole family will come and stay for a number of hours. The kids get their homework done. maybe have a parent looking for jobs online, or using some of our resources, practicing their technology skills, using social media, or reading. So we really see people that have all types of mobility issues. And I've seen families that will do carpooling several times a week and bring the family over. So we do still offer the services. And I think what's great about the Richmond Public Library system is that we're represented in every major neighborhood. Having the 9 branches in the main library, you're still close enough to a library that even if you have limited mobility or you don't have a car, most people are able to access the library.
Great. Well, it sounds like, you know, that was planned out well, because you know, being able to get to the library before you can even access those resources, of course, is important. And, you know, what struck me about what you were saying is how entire families will come together to the library. I hadn't really thought about that. So many times when you kind of picture a library, you think of a solitary experience. You think of, you know, someone sitting on a chair or a couch reading a book by themselves, or someone, you know, at a computer station by themselves reading, you know, accessing the internet. But in this case, it's not only a community center, but it sounds like it's also a family center.
Absolutely.
It's a place where families go.
We have families that come, and we call them our regular families. They come every night of the week, and some of them walk over, they bring their children, and they come over, and the parents will be doing certain activities on the computers or reading, and the children will be in our meeting room with the homework help. They all have cards, too, and that's something that I have really been very encouraged in seeing, and with the outreach efforts is entire Latino immigrant families signing up at the same time. The parents, the kids, extended family, and then they come back over and over and over again because they realize how many resources they can take home. And so I think to them it's a great benefit and very exciting that they can both help their children with schoolwork but also have recreational materials and movies to watch at home.
Great. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. I'm Mark Hickman, co-host of Inspire Indeed, and we're talking with the branch manager of Broad Rock Public Library, Christina Ramirez. Where can people get more details about the library, Christina?
You can visit our website, richmondpubliclibrary.org, or visit any of the 9 branches in the main library downtown and get information in person.
Great, thank you. You know, we were talking about it being a community center, about being a family center, and I wanted to go back, if we could, to the library's renovation that we talked about a couple years ago. Have you changed anything else about the physical space of the library since the renovation as part of transforming it into a redefined community center?
Yes, the space, since we're so heavily used, and I before the interview began, I mentioned that we can have on Mondays between 4 and over 500 people coming in a day. We have to be very creative with the use of our space. We have the large meeting room, and we have a teen young adult area with a nice large round table. We have several study tables in the back towards the periodical. So we have to be creative in how we shift furniture around. In order to accommodate multiple programs taking place at the same time and groups that want to come and study, do homework, and to provide as much space as we can for them. So all of our tables and chairs are on rollers, they're all movable, and we can configure that to have a GED class, the homework help, and have people coming in to do their own work on a small business, all occurring at the same time. So we have to move things around depending on the day of the week in order to accommodate the different needs of the patrons at the time.
Oh, wow. And how many staff does the library have that's doing all of this and helping you out?
We have 5 full-time and a part-time staff.
Oh, goodness. So they have their hands full.
Absolutely.
I think actually right before the show began, you were telling me how Mondays are incredibly busy for you, because how many people may come through your doors?
We can have over 500 people coming in a day because, we, like I said, we offer a lot of business-type services, and we're the only location in that area in Southside that offers printing, photocopying, faxing, and notary services. So we also help a lot of small businesses and independent business owners to get their business done during the day. So we offer all of that in addition to all the story time for the young children and then for the older kids in the afternoon when school gets out.
Great. So If we could, let's continue on this theme of the physical space, and unless you want to move on, but the form of the library itself, how does that, though, maybe those limitations, those constraints, or maybe because of the renovation and what you've done so far, it really has been working out well. But how does the physical space, the form of the library, also affect the function of the library and the services that you provide? Have you run into any challenges or walls there? How have you had to be creative? You mentioned some of the creative things you're already doing, but how have you had to be even more creative in reimagining what can be done in a public library?
Well, I think being creative has been not only manipulating the inner space that we have and moving furniture around. I've also worked on, we have the two entrances and each has a small vestibule, and I have ordered a lot of resources from the federal government that are bilingual or Spanish, so I offer kind of community government information both in English and in Spanish. We have tax forms, we have bus route information, so that's at the entrance. And then outside of the library itself, I serve on several boards in the community and am VP of the Friends of the Latin Market, the Friends of La Plaza Latin Market. We have in the second parking lot behind the library a farmer's market during season, in which we use that second parking lot, and so the library kind of can spill over into the backyard, so to speak, of the library. So people can come in and out, and they can buy some fresh fruits and vegetables, visit with some local vendors, artisans, come use our services. And then also Broad Rock Park itself has a lot of sports activities. We have a lot of leagues that play there in the afternoons when the weather gets better. And we've had a couple festivals there in which the library is represented. So we have the Imagine Festival, in which the library has a booth there every year.
Wow, so you're not just making use of the building itself, of just the indoor space, but also the space that surrounds it, the parking lot, the parks, you mentioned the farmer's market and so forth. So, I hadn't even really thought about that. To be honest, I haven't been to the Broad Rock branch. And so it sounds like you truly are utilizing all of the physical resources that you have surrounding the area to truly make it a community center. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that the year goes by and I'm able to kind of work and partner with more community groups, there might be more ideas that we can have in terms of building a community garden that can be both educational and can serve as a source of food for families who want to work in the garden. So I think that to answer your previous question, it's all about partnerships with key community players, nonprofits, and local organizations who have a shared mission or vision and who want to work with us to offer more to the community.
Great. Thank you. Many of Broad Rock's programs are geared toward the local Latino population, as we discussed. But you also discussed a lot of the small business and general services that you provide. And I imagine that those are utilized by a wide variety of people. Do you also offer any services that engage native English speakers? I was thinking about perhaps some cross-cultural programs or diversity initiatives. I know that you mentioned your partnership with the schools, and I'm sure that they have bilingual classes and, Spanish classes and so forth. What is that dynamic like? What other services do you provide for that audience?
Well, our story time is offered in English. And a lot of the programs that we've had that are financially based, like that we've partnered with the Virginia Credit Union, those have been in English. So that's not to say that there's down the road we may not be able to offer some in an alternate language. But right now, all of those programs mostly geared towards adults have been in English. I recently brought on my team a librarian who is bilingual. And so I really hope to work with her to develop a lot of new programs that are in English, but that we can translate and both of us offer to the community in Spanish during the week. One program in particular that comes to mind that was a cross-cultural or diversity program was the Richmond Public Library received a grant from the National Endowment of the Humanities, and it was called the Muslim Journeys Bookshelf, and it was a series of books and movies that focused on Islamic culture, heritage, and art and literature. So we offer that to the community as well, and there was some programming around that.
Excellent. So with all of these programs, with all of the challenges that you face as a library branch manager in your particular community, how do you know when your work is making a difference? What stories can you share with us?
People come and tell us directly. That's what's so great, is you really get to know the regular patrons. You get to know some of the families very well. And they will come and tell you when they get really excited. I've had a patron tell me, oh, thanks to using your computers and your internet, I was able to get a job. That's really nice to hear. Also, a lot of the immigrant families will come and tell us, I'm so glad you're here because I can't help my child with this particular assignment, or I didn't know if I would be able to get them through this class. But having the teacher here, having the online resources available, I now know that I can help my child succeed in school. So just the parents themselves will come back and tell you when their child is doing well or when they've gotten a good grade on a project.
That's awesome. Wow, what a great example and examples of the impact of your work and of the library. And as you mentioned, throughout, I think, almost all of your answers, the entire library system, all the branches that people can access for free is a tremendous resource. Now, Christina, what about you? What's your personal story? What motivates you to do this work? How did you end up working for the libraries? How did you end up managing the Broad Rock branch?
Well, my personal background has a lot to do with the work that I do and that I'm very proud to do. I myself am Latina, mixed background. My mother's from Spain. My father is from South Texas. And I grew up speaking Spanish. English is a second language for me. And so I just really feel very strongly about giving back to the community and helping those that don't have the same access to the resources that I had maybe growing up, or that I am blessed to have been able to learn how to use. I also received my master's in library science from Catholic University in DC, and a lot of the focus of that program is service, is servant leadership. And I really believe in that. I believe that you can lead others by helping them, by serving the community. So for me, this job was a great fit. I just feel that I can use my language every day of the week. I can work directly with the community. I have been able to work with great community partners and just meet wonderful people that are also making a difference and seeing how we can partner together to offer new services and programs.
And in case you're not busy enough, I also understand that you are a PhD student?
Yes. That is it's a whole other story, but yes.
All right.
Well, it's long going, but I'm going to finish it. Yes, in the School of Education at VCU.
That's fantastic. Well, best of luck to you. And unfortunately, we're getting close to running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, you know, very quickly. You told Style Weekly that you would eventually like to make changes system-wide and bring the whole system to address demographic changes and community needs. And you said, quote, the longer I'm in this position, the more people I'm finding who are doing pieces of this puzzle. So in 30 seconds, what are your next steps in making this system-wide change, and who's helping you put those pieces together?
People that are putting the pieces together, several community members come to mind. Tanya Gonzalez, Office of Multicultural Affairs, Patty Parks at the Main Library, Spencer Turner of the Virginia Center of Latin American Art. All of them have little pieces in terms of people they work with, the knowledge they contain. So it's harnessing that power of, you have this little piece of the puzzle, I do, let's put together a great program or event. In terms of system-wide changes, I think we're getting ready to gear up to do a scan of our communities and neighborhoods to get a better grasp of the demographics and the needs that we can better fill in the community. So each of the branches is about to do that. So I think part of it is research and data collection, and part of it is continuing outreach and networking.
Great, thank you. And tell us one more time, where can we get more information about the library?
RichmondPublicLibrary.org, or visit any of the 9 branches and main library in person.
Great. Thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you.
Manager of Broad Rock Branch Library, for joining us today. I'm Mark Hickman, co-host of Inspire Indeed, and I'm grateful also to Elaine Summerfield and to my fellow volunteers here at WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio. Christina and Broad Rock Library were the kickoff to this month's theme of creating community by redefining community spaces. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon when my co-host Elaine Summerfield will interview Betsy Hart, Executive Director of Robinson Theater. You have been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community ideas through the lens of nonprofits and change makers who are working to make a difference. I hope you learned something new on the show today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds. I know that Christina Ramirez and Broad Rock Public Library have indeed inspired me. Thank you.